Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? Good evening, people. You're listening to Money Talk. I am Ryan Stone, the Prosperity Professor, and I'm joined with my always creative and effective partner, Brandon Anthony Clark. All heroes don't wear capes. Brandon, you with us tonight?
What's up, man? I hope everybody can hear me. I hope everybody's doing fantastic. And I know I'm doing awesome. And we got a jam-packed, awesome show for you tonight. We're talking about a lot of things. But first, man, why don't you and I just catch up a little bit, Ryan, just kind of update ourselves on kind of what's been going on lately in the
A lot of things coming up, man. Tomorrow is January 15th. We're halfway through the month, and we're starting to see the turmoil in the House and Congress with everything that happened last week, both in the violence and in the actual activities of Congress. And we're about to see how those things kind of settle as tomorrow unveils, the start of the inauguration.
Right. Absolutely, Brian. So I'm kind of looking at things. First of all, I'm excited. You know, got a new regime coming in. Not saying that I'm a fan of either regime or a regime at all, but it is. Change is always, I feel like, exciting because it can either be good or bad. Just kind of depends on how we position ourselves in it. And so we got to make sure we find the opportunity. You know, I was actually listening to, I'm a huge Les Brown fan, man. You ever listen to Les Brown? Or do you know who Les Brown is?
No.
No. Oh, man, he's a motivational speaker, bro. He's awesome. You gotta check him out, man. But he was talking about this word crisis. And he says the word crisis, in Chinese or something, he said, actually means opportunity as well. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like there's a tremendous opportunity. Do I know what the opportunity is? I have a few ideas of where the opportunities are and where they lie.
We should definitely get into some of those opportunities tonight. And with exact precision, actually. Because with the new year starting in, and as the dust is settling up for some new changes, we want to make sure that our house is in order, right? And at the start of every year, a lot of people focus on where are we going, you know, with New Year's resolutions being the biggest, most common example. But I think it's a really important time to also just check in where you're at. And most specifically,
check
when
where
we're talking
about
– the best way to do that is by checking your budget, right?
Your budget, man. Now, Ryan, real quick, man, we going live on IG too? Because no, we got fans on there. We got a fan base on there. Are you already live on there?
Yeah, meet me on Instagram. So if you're listening on NSF Fatherhood Radio, we appreciate you. We're also on Instagram Live at The Prosperity Professor, as well as All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. I'll go live right now, Brandon. Meet me on there.
Okay. I already got it up, man, if you want to hop on.
I'll be there.
Huh? All right, perfect.
I'll be there, too.
We got the connection. We are live now on Instagram. It is Money Talk Live Uncut. I'm about to be joined by my guy, Ryan Stone, the Prosperity Professor, and we're also live on NSF Fatherhood Radio. And we got a very, very great topic that we're talking about tonight. We are actually going to be talking about...
Very, very great topic.
I can hear myself in the background here. Ryan, can you got some echo.
I can hear myself in the background.
Got a little bit of echo. Yo, man. I can see you now. I can hear you and I can see you.
It's way better like this, huh?
It is way better like this. You know what I'm saying?
There we go.
So for those of you joining us up on Instagram, welcome to my bathroom, because that's where we're recording today.
I'm glad we put in. Let me see if I can get away with this. I'm glad we put in, man, because I don't want Instagram to miss this. I hope that we can get some visuals in on this as well. So, guys, what we're talking about tonight, ultimately, when you're setting up your budget, whether it's looking at the past or looking at the future, you want to make sure that every single dollar you have gets a job. That dollar's job is hopefully the best job a dollar could have is to go back out into the world and bring you back a friend, right? Mm-hmm. The best thing a dollar can do for you is go back out into the world and come back to you as soon as possible with a friend, or two, or three, or 10.
Or a million. That's how it works, man. Absolutely, man. So you have a job, but does your money have a job?
That's right.
That's what we're talking about today. Do you have a job, but does your money have a job? And so it's always important, man, to – you remember we asked this question. You actually went out live in Venice Beach, and you asked people what they would do with $1 million. And you had all these different answers. You know, people said they'd do a bunch of different things with it, you know. And I was actually having this conversation with a good friend of mine. We talk, like, daily. And I'm very, very – I'm one of those people. I always talk about money, first of all. I love money. But when I talk about it, I always talk about what I'm going to do with it. It's not like I just want to make it. I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to get it. So I know exactly what I'm going to do with it as soon as I get it. You know what I'm saying? Whereas there's a difference. Now, the reason why that's important is because I personally feel like on a spiritual level, you'll never be able to get more than what you can handle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Even on a spiritual level, right? So, like, let's say if I was to give you $1 million right now, you didn't have any idea or any plan or any budget or anything to do with that $1 million. Chances are you blow through it in less than a year.
That's right.
For some people, less than a month. You know what I'm saying? Because money is just, it just is.
You know what? Nelson Nash, who was a famous life agent that a lot of people know, he had a story about that I love to share. And money is just like water. And if you look at the water system on Earth, it's very simple, really, from a third person perspective. All of the water starts in the ocean and then is evaporated by the sun and then rains down. Sometimes it rains back into the ocean. Actually, most of the time. But sometimes that rain is carried over onto land, and it rains into levees, into streams, into mountains, down canyons. But where do all those streams eventually go? Back to the ocean. And wealth and money work the same way. It starts out in the ocean. It starts out where money begins. But the biggest pools of money will always suck money back into it. The money will always flow back to the biggest source. And if you're not actively working and thinking and being very intentional about the dollars that you have, or at least have power of, then they are going to very quickly flow out of your hands and right on down the river.
Right, man. A wise man once said, if you took all the money in the world, all of the money in the world, and divided it evenly upon everybody in the world, then it would soon be back in the same pocket. Like, for real. You know, it's the way it works, man. So,
man, I'm going to get that. This is where I put that. I want to get a sound clip of Jeff Bezos laughing. So this is where I'd put that in right there.
This is where you put it in right there. I got to hear the Jeff Bezos laugh, man. But definitely, man. So we're talking about creating a budget. And ironically enough, this is something that I wanted to talk about. Because I actually just did my beginning of the year budget.
Perfect.
Today.
Perfect.
Oh, man.
You're a little late, aren't you?
I'm a little bit late only because, you know, we've been working nonstop around the clock, man. You know, we have our businesses. We have a radio show. We have webinars that we're working on. So I kind of put myself to the back burner and kind of put everybody else in front of me.
Hey, no, no, no.
You know
that's a
saying?
Perfect, Brandon. That's a perfect, perfect example. And this is the same thing when I was a teacher. I always like to – I'm not shouting you out. I'm not throwing you under the bridge because God knows that I've never been perfect. You know, I've often fumbled the ball too. We all do. But as a teacher, I loved highlighting mistakes respectfully because if you're making that mistake, chances are millions of other people are too. And so hearing you as a financial professional, a pretty you know, well-educated one, what are you doing what are you doing right now to, like, turn the tide, even though you're a few days late into the month, you know, to make sure that your budget is straightened out? Like, how do you get back on the ball after you're a little bit behind? I think people need to hear that lesson more than anything.
Yeah. So what I did, man, I went and looked at my finances for the last 3 months, the last quarter, pretty much, to see where I spent money at. If you have a bank, I think all banks do this. You can basically kind of log in and you can see exactly where you're spending money at.
That's right.
So what I did was I went to my Citibank account, pulled it up, and it'll have a cash flow chart, and it'll have an expense and an income chart. And it actually breaks down all of your expenses by category. It'll have household stuff, business stuff, office stuff, entertainment, restaurants, food, everything like that. So what I did, I literally went through the last 3 months and I analyzed every single dollar that I spent, you know. And I realized I spent way too much money on eating out, first of all. So that's stopping.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's the show, stopping that. But then what was kind of cool, I really tried to focus on the fixed expense. The fixed expense is what you really want to control and what you want to highlight, because there's always going to be things that you don't plan for. And those are the little things that hurt you. You know, the little $6 here, the $15 here, the $3 here, the $2 here, I want to buy this app. I need it real quick. It's $4.99. I'm going to just pay for it. Because those are the things that you don't necessarily plan
for. You remember
for.
This stat?
It's ironically enough. Go ahead.
I love this on that one note. You know, that one stat is a random purchase of $27 a day, a random little meal here, just like you were saying, comes out to about $10,000 a year.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. 365 times 20. That's already like 7,000.
It gets scary fast.
So 10, yeah, it does, man. That's why I was looking at my bank statements. Like, my God.
So, I mean, most people can't. I mean, what do you do about those fixed expenses? So it sounds like when you go through your budget, and I do the same thing, you go day by day, and what I do is I categorize what are bills that I need to sustain my life. I have to pay these to keep going. What are some bills that are for my business? Obviously, if you're a business, hopefully you have two different accounts, but it's still an account, still an expense, part of the budget. And then with food, what I've been doing, Brandon, I've been tracking this because my girl and I love to eat. That's like our thing. That's like what we do together is we eat good food.
Right.
And to be honest, man, what's the point of living if you're not? I'm going to be honest.
I share this with my clients all the time, man. I'm like, look, man, I don't want you to shrink down your lifestyle, you know what I'm saying, based on, you know, your income. I want you to be able to live abundantly. I feel like everybody should not have to penny pinch and things like that. But in order to make it to that level to where you don't have to penny pinch and calculate every little thing, there has to be some strict discipline in the beginning.
It's a balance. Absolutely.
You know, it's a balance. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
That getting that piece is important. So, I was going to kind of touch on meal plans and diet plans.
Yeah.
It's the same idea and concept with your money as it is with a meal plan or a diet plan. If you ever had somebody calculate out your macros, like your carbs, your fats, your protein, and what you should eat, how much you should eat, and you got to measure everything out. When you do that physically, you get in the best shape of your life. You actually really, you lose weight, you tone up, start looking really, really good. But the same thing can apply to our financial life, our financial health, by calculating all that, everything down to the cent. So we know that every dollar, remember, it has a job. It's either, for me, it's either supporting my lifestyle today, present day, and the second one is to support my lifestyle in the future. And so that's kind of like how I classify my money and the jobs that I give it. One job is to support my lifestyle for today. The the other job is support my lifestyle for the future.
Absolutely. I was going to say, just in that one thing, just I like to get really kind of in detail when I go through my past spending, because I believe that if you become hyper aware of, you know, kind of your habits and trends, you can kind of take a step towards whether you do them or not, you know, the next time. And so one thing I've been doing is just in the category of food, when I'm budgeting out, what did I spend last month? I look at, okay, how much did I spend on food that I needed? And that's a column versus how much money did I spend on food that I just wanted? And it was a fun food.
Yeah.
And what I try to, and I try to make sure that, you know, I make a little goal at the end of the month. Well, okay, November I spent $700 on food that I just wanted. Let's see if I can cut that down 30%. And sure enough, December, even with the holidays, like, I only spent $400 on food that I wanted, right? And that's not a big change, but over time, a $300 savings a month is $3,600.
That's $3,600.
Right.
And $3,600 invested over 20 years
is a whole
7% rate of return is a whole lot of money.
Exactly. Exactly.
A whole lot of money. Now you can get there and it don't really matter, because you can eat whatever you want to eat at that point, because, you know, you've invested so well to where you actually have a portfolio that is generating you enough income, especially using the strategies and things that we teach you how to use, using cash value life insurance, using multiple sources of income. You know what I'm saying? So extremely, extremely beneficial. And so what are some Ryan, why don't you share about how you go about planning your budget?
Well, that's basically what I do. I do my budgeting on the 25th of every month. That's kind of where the cycle.
So you do it once a month.
No. That's where it's a cycle. It's kind of a pattern. That's where it starts. And basically what I do is on the 25th, I open up. I'm trying to find my papers, but you wouldn't be able to see it anyways. And I basically go through my bank, and I hate Excel. I might be the only financial professional that hates Excel. I hate spreadsheets. I do it all. I'm old fashioned. I do it all by hand.
Yeah.
And it's all on paper. And I've had dozens of clients say, you know, you should really use this app and this app. And so I know of a bunch of great apps out there. I'm old fashioned. I like a bunch of papers. But what I basically do is I go through every single day of the month. I write down the day and the bill that was paid. And then any other kind of expense, whether a business expense happened to come out the wrong account one time, or maybe there's some silliness, or maybe there was some food, maybe there's a want that I bought when I should have just saved for needs. And I also track how much do I invest every single month. That's also another column. And so I have separate columns for like bills for life, food, wants, business expenses, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm tracking every single month. I try and cut the wants down, and I transfer that same amount of money into the investing column, or into the business column, or into the just plain savings column, or giving those dollars jobs for the future. And I also, when I first started really, really getting into my budget, I did just like what you were talking about. I checked all the subscriptions that you have on accident. Like you didn't even know about it on your Apple ID, man. I went back in there and started and saved around $75 a month, just eliminating stupid apps that I didn't even know were there, right?
Bro, I just went through my subscriptions. I had 3 credit apps.
Yeah.
That I'm paying for on subscription.
How many credit apps?
I'm paying like $100 a month for credit apps. I have FICO. I have Smart Credit. I have Identity IQ, and I had another one too. It was like 4 of them. I was like, why do I got that? Because I was too. I'm one of the people I overdo it, bro. Like when I'm really focused on something, I'm like, okay, I just kind of go all the way deep in it. Because like credit was something that I really focused hard on last year.
Nice.
You know, because I understand that credit is really the new money. Credit is actually more important than cash. You know what I'm saying? And so like not having good credit, or not necessarily having fair credit. I was in the fair credit category. You know, like right in the 60s. You can't do nothing in the 60s. So it ain't bad, but it ain't good. It's just fair. So you can't do nothing with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of stuck. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to, you know, figure out some strategies and really focus on credit education.
That's another piece of it,
where
too.
Now I'm in the seventh. I'm in the seventh. And all it was a little bit of education.
one of the best ways, and that was kind of my next piece, was, you know, after you check out all the main expenses, then you're looking at two different things. One is either debt, getting rid of debt, which is a sure shot way to get your credit up, or on the flip side, bulking those dollars up and into savings and investments, right? And so I'm tracking those things too. If you have debt, then you're tapped into like a snowball or a velocity banking type system, and you're tracking your progress through that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we should talk about, because I have something that I'm working on right now where I'm actually going to use the velocity banking technique.
On one of your, are you using velocity banking or infinite banking?
I think I'm going to use the velocity banking. I'm going to use a line of credit.
Oh, nice. And for a big debt?
It's not a huge debt, but it is like a debt with a high interest rate.
It doesn't really matter what the number is as long as you have an external debt weapon. And I think we can definitely do some episodes around velocity banking and the idea of using other people's money to get rid of your expenses or your debt. And that's the way the wealthy do it.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I think I'm going to combine the velocity banking with infinite banking.
That's the moneymaker.
Yeah, I just thought about that, right? It's like, why just do that? I could always.
That's what I said. When you're doing velocity banking, the only reason you would do that.
Both.
I only say it's silly for you to do that because I know your life programs, and I was like, man, you have tons of space to do velocity banking through the infinite banking method. I don't know if we're getting a little off topic here, but you're listening to Money Talk.
We kind of got a little off topic.
I'm Ryan Stone.
But I know I think that's important. I think that is important because you have to, if you are in debt and you have a goal of getting out of debt, you have to budget in.
Oh, 100%.
And you need a plan.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Debt consolidation is a huge piece of your budgeting. But what I was saying is maybe velocity banking might be putting the cart before the horse. But there are certainly people on here that might know about that. If you would like to call in and chat with us about your budget tips, any strategies that you love to use to either save money or lower your expenses, call in. Feel free to call in at 516-418-5805.
Yeah.
Man, but what about some other tips? Like, just we have like 5 minutes before the break. Let's just like, let's shoot off just like random tips that you have that save money. Like over the years, we've come across all different kinds of tools, tips, websites, apps.
Yeah.
Little like weird Snapple cap facts that you can use.
I like putting money places where I can't get to it.
Oh, like quick. Like in the ground at your auntie's?
Like like that. That's kind of nah man, so that's why I really like the life insurance because I can't get to that money quick. Plus it gives me a great return while protecting my family and my income and all these other benefits, of course. But I have easy access, but it's not so easy like a debit card or a credit card to where, everybody sometimes gets an impulse to want to spend money or buy something that they technically don't really need at the moment, you know? And have you ever heard of that strategy or something? I hear a couple, some people say, well, if you can't buy it twice, you can't afford it. Another one said, well, if you want it, wait 5 days or something if you still really want it or whatever. So I was like, man, you know what? That's one place. Another place is my brokerage account because my stocks, I don't really like cashing those out or using it. When I put money in a brokerage account, it's just in there. I don't want to take it out.
And that's how most people are, right? And that's how most people's financial advisors are too. Just leave it in there. Mm-hmm. Leave it in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine as long as that's not all the money you have.
That's not all the money. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not all the money I have. Also, man, the people on Instagram will be able to see this, but I also invest in other forms of currency.
What you doing, man?
Crypto.
I feel like we're looking at a UFO station over here.
Yeah, that's my my light in my bathroom.
Dr. Ndidi says, my new strategy over the last 2 years, instead of cable, using streaming.
Streaming, that's huge. Yeah. I'm right there with you, Doc. All I got is internet and YouTube. That's all the entertainment I need.
I love YouTube. And you know what? Call me crazy, but you know what else I've been doing is a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. I do this all day. Mm-hmm. That's why they call me the professor.
Oh, yes. That's why they call you the professor.
But anyway,
let's check this out. If you're on Instagram, you can see this.
All right, so we have a Buffalo coin here. Is that still pure silver?
This is pure silver. This is 1 ounce of pure silver.
Nice.
And this is
now we all know where you keep it.
I'm not going to tell you where I keep it. But this is real, real money. I wish you could feel how heavy this is.
Oh, is it a couple ounces?
It's heavy.
Each piece an ounce?
Well, each one of these is an ounce. So if I got 16 of them,
that's a pound.
That's already 1 pound.
And
yeah.
You're sitting on a pound of silver.
You know.
That sounds like a country song.
Yeah, I'm sitting on way more than a pound of silver. You feel me? But, yep, you got to stack silver, man. It's very undervalued. This isn't a silver or gold or commodity show, very important.
This might be changing the topic, but one budget thing I didn't want to leave it off with regards to food, and maybe I'm coming back to it because I'm hungry. It's almost dinner time, but food is a big expense for me, and I often see it a big expense. Mm-hmm. A lot of my clients are parents. And so food is a huge issue with that, a huge expense. And one trick that I learned from my grandmother that, you know, honestly, maybe it's common knowledge, maybe it's not. But if there's an item that you buy a lot, many people think that buying in bulk is like the secret to cheaper. And this is like really budgeting down to the like extra change. But for me, back to my water metaphor, One raindrop raises this, you know, it all comes back. It's like we all just collect strategies. Instead of just blindly saying, well, if I buy in bulk, I'm going to buy cheaper. It's actually not so. What you really want to pay attention to, and it's on the barcode, is actually the unit price. And it's the same with interest arbitrage. Because sometimes they give you the bigger thing, but the unit price is not actually any better than the smaller one. And sometimes the smaller one is better. So if it's an object that you continue to buy, for me it's like olive oil or a cooking oil or crushed red pepper, like spices, things like that that come in weight. I always check the unit price, and it's right there on the tag. It says how much it costs per ounce.
I think I know what you're talking about, too. It says like it'll have like 14.6 cents per whatever or something like that.
I nitpick down to the penny, man, because to me that reminds me of old pastimes when we were dealing with other things in weight, and I was just like, you know, dealing with per ounce, per gram, and always trying to get the lowest for the best value. Every raindrop raises the sea.
Everything is like that. Everything operates off weight, because that's really where the value is actually in the like in the commodity or the goods.
In a commodity, right?
Oh, wait, it's time for us to pay the bills, man. We are running. We got to pay the bills before we get in trouble.
Let me come in.
We didn't. Yeah. So, rock with us. Rock with us. You are listening to the NFL Father Radio. Yep.
You are now listening to Money Talk Live
on NFL Radio
every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Tune in to the Powerhouse Squad on NFL Radio Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep. We back. Back in action. You are listening to Money Talk Live, Uncut. We on NSF Father Radio, and we are talking about how to have your money have jobs. You have a job for money, but does your money have a job for you?
So, man,
budgeting 101.
After you kind of after I kind of go through everything from the last month and I have all my categories, mm-hmm. I go through my totals, and then I like to shave a little bit off the top in every single piece. And then mm-hmm. I kind of set goals around the next month. I set goals okay. around two things, you know, both the cut back the wants and also increase the amount of money that I invest in myself, I invest into mm-hmm. investments or savings, and I invest into my mm-hmm. business. Because I know that yeah. that is probably, that's the best chance place, invest mm-hmm. in that order, investing in myself, investing in my business, mm-hmm. and investing in my savings in that order mm-hmm. is what's going to bring me yeah. back the biggest return.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. A lot of people miss that investing in self. You know, a lot of people want to invest in the market or invest in this or invest in that before investing in themselves or the education. You know what I'm saying? So we talk about that all the time, like investing in yourself to learn a skill, to learn a trade. Because by learning a skill or learning a trade, you can increase your income that way.
Absolutely.
So by increasing your income, you can now have more money to invest or do whatever you want to do with. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people miss that part. It's just like we said, if you took all the money in the world, all the money in the world, divided it evenly upon everybody in the world, it would soon be back in the same pocket because of the education and what people do.
That's right.
You know, with money. You know what I'm saying? Some people know what to do with it. Some people don't. Those who do prosper. Those who don't.
Check this out, man. If people really are hesitant on taking a stab and taking a bet on themselves, except in like traditional senses, which we're seeing statistically are not working time and time again. I'll give you an example. 4-year private universities, okay? For many, in fact, for the biggest cause in the United States, it will put a person into debt to go to a 4-year university. And for what, right? What is that $100,000, $200,000, what it costs to go to there for 4 years, what are you getting in there in return? Is it a guarantee job? Most often not. Whereas, but if you come into, a personal coach, that might be $5,000 a session. Or my coaching class and mentorship that I pay for is $900 a month. A lot of people would balk at that. Well, that's ridiculous. I would never pay $1,000 a month for a personal mentor, and yet we go into debt by the hundreds of thousands for a university where there's no guarantee. What's a better guarantee, a 4-year university or getting mentorship from millionaires that have already done what you're trying to do? Right?
Yeah, man. You know, that's huge. I was a person, I didn't really believe in paying for mentorship. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I don't believe in paying for mentorship, because I definitely believe in paying for information and stuff like that. But I don't think a lot of people understand the value of being matter of fact, one of my mentors in the business right now, he's been a financial planner for 22 years. He happens to be an African-American as well. So he's been able to learn how to be successful as an African-American in an industry where there are very few African-Americans. And he's one of the best in the industry, in the country. And so I have access to him for free. You know what I'm saying? But let's say he wanted to charge me, you know what I'm saying, 10 grand or something like that. I honestly feel like I would pay the 10,000 to learn from him. You know what I'm saying? Because I will make that times 1,000 over.
Right.
Just from the things that I've learned.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that could be I don't think a lot of people value that.
I have the same mentality.
As much, you know what I'm saying?
I went back and forth on it because it was a big price originally for me to go in. $1,000 a month for me was, you know, at that time when I first started the mentorship, it was a lot. It was a commitment. But what I thought of was my mentor has helped close $3 billion worth of business in the last 10 years. If I could learn how to do a 1% of that, I think I could more than happily get my money back, right? And so it's not just blindly throwing money at education, because I think there's a lot of, like, nonsense out there on the internet, especially nowadays, who someone will take a guru class and then literally regurgitate the class in their own course, having not done the actual activity, and then try and teach it. And then you're like, well, you try and ask them for support, and it's bullshit, right? So definitely vet the people that you are trying to get information from. Make sure that they are living up to the standards that they are, you know, they can practice what they preach. But after I found out, you know, after I, you know, it's pretty easy to see in the insurance world who's got numbers and who doesn't. I mean, they're all public, you know, it's all pretty public, and they're all MDRT table, quarter of the table and top of the table members. It's more transparent in our industry, but I say that to say proper education and proper self-investment in education is one of the best jobs that you could give to your money.
Exactly. And budget that in. Budget that in, man. So we talked about budgeting expenses, like fixed expenses. We talked about budgeting business expenses. We talked about budgeting debts, like having a plan or to get out of debt. That's important, because after you get out of debt, now you have more money that you can do other stuff with, starting new jobs. But what about budgeting for the things that you need, like for a house or for a car or for that new business piece of business equipment that will take your business to the next level? You know what I'm saying? Those are some other things that you would want to have in a budget and have a timeline on how long it would take for you to acquire those things based on your income.
I love that, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's kind of like, at least for me, and I didn't even realize it was, I could have used this when I first got into it, but for me, my life insurance policy has been one of the best pieces for that. Someone asked, you go on Clubhouse. We will be on Clubhouse very soon.
We will. I haven't figured out how to use it yet. I have it, but I have not figured out how to use it. But I really want to use Clubhouse. What's going on? What's going on? How you doing?
Is that Dee Dee? Did she change her? Oh, no, it's a different Dee Dee. Okay, cool.
Yes, I actually want to get on Clubhouse, because, you know, people can actually like engage.
You know what?
And talk.
This is the oddest thing, though, is that we're on the radio right now. If you would like to call in, we're on NS Father Radio. You can call in right now, Brandon, if you want to write it in at 516-418-5805. We would love to hear any of your budgeting strategies today. How do you give every single one of your dollars a job, or what's a unique job you've given your dollars lately that paid off?
Absolutely. We want to hear you call in. Call on in. I'm going to put the number here in the chat. It says 516-418. What's the rest?
5805. Clubhouse is a new social app that is featured kind of around the idea that when you get together with people, you kind of just sit together and talk.
I think it's almost like an Instagram Live without the video.
Gary Vee said it's going to be huge in a year. What do you think?
I think it is going to be huge in a year, because of the fact that it's almost like having a radio show, but you got an audience who can actually engage, meaning they could raise their hand, ask questions, so you can really find out exactly, you know, kind of like what they want, you know, and if you can help them. Well, I think that's amazing.
This is an amazing time that we live in. I read a story yesterday that basically an older gentleman with Parkinson's disease, you know, like Muhammad Ali, Michael J. Fox, he made a TikTok about how hard – have you seen this? He made a TikTok about how difficult it was to get little pills that they make for Parkinson's, because they're so small. Which is hard to grasp if you have Parkinson's. You're constantly shaking, your motor functions are a little bit disabled. And so he made a TikTok about how difficult this problem is. And within 13 days, he had a prototype of a special type of jar that would distribute one pill at a time. And it was much, much easier for him. And then they just grabbed the patent off and get it out for free. this is the education and knowledge is compounding so rapidly right now. It's incredible.
It is.
And so I think Clubhouse is going to be pretty big. It's going to be part of that.
I love history. I really love history, man. And I like, back in the early 1900s, it was known as the Industrial Age.
Right.
You know, when manufacturing and every stuff got huge.
Well, even that.
100 years later, we are now in the Information Age, where literally information at your fingertips.
Pretty cool.
So that's so cool, man, because now you can tell who's really who's bullshitting and who's not. You know what I'm saying? Like who's really doing it?
It's pretty cool, man.
You know what I mean, so that's cool.
We're gonna see some shit, and your kids, our kids, are gonna see some shit, man. Like these next 20, 30 years, I think, are gonna be transformational. If you think of just, well, now we're really off topic, but if you wanna be a part of that with the most opportunity, you better be budgeting now. They're about to be a hell of fun. If you think the toys out now are fun, oh my god. If you think the toys nowadays are fun. I know in 20 years I'm going to want to spend some more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, but then, man, Ryan, we got to actually look at the transition of getting on Clubhouse, man. You remember I brought that idea to you I told you about that.
I know.
You remember?
I know.
I did.
I know. We kind of go back and forth on that. I've been digging it too, man. So I think at this point, we're setting up to be live on all streams, on all platforms, basically at the same time. And that's we're going to roll out about next month, hopefully, February.
I'm honestly going to experiment with it this upcoming week.
Okay.
Where we're going to be streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And so here's the deal, man. I've been getting so many people reaching out to me to learn more about the specifics of cash value life insurance. And I kind of have to, it literally takes like an hour and a half to properly educate somebody on the mechanics of it. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, in order to kind of reach more people, because it's only one me, there's only one you, and there's only 8 hours in a day. And so I can only talk to a few people a day.
Yeah.
And so I want to like mass produce it.
Yeah. Well, we have our webinar series coming out too, but this is also for the show and to answer questions about the webinar. And look, every process will be really, really streamlined. But you know, I think probably early February it'll be a going.
It'll be good to go for real. Yeah, that's the goal, man. And not just only helping people. You know, I actually want to help other agents, other advisors that are in the industry, because I feel like the better the industry is, the easier everybody's job gets. You know what I'm saying? Just as a whole. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of my goals for the industry, just in general. You know what I mean? I know, Ryan, you share the same goal, you know, which is why we do what we do. You wanna answer that question, Ryan? You see that in the chat?
It's dollars for pennies.
It is. Yeah. It's dollars for pennies, man. It's dollars for pennies. You're buying money when you're buying life insurance. You are buying income, you know, it's a concept. That's why I have to kind of be taught.
Life insurance puts money into escrow for pennies on a dollar, money that you can depend on and guarantee, so that the day that you walk out is the day that we walk in. Now that's the old way. The new way is that you can use that money, not before you walk out, but also in the days leading up until then, starting from the 10th day you even start your program. If you are thinking of, if you are the type of person who believes that the key to wealth is accumulating a massive pile of money and then running away with your flush fund, then we're not really people that can do business. But if you're the type of person that wants a place for safe, consistent, meticulous growth that is both A, sheltered from any kind of taxes, and B, litigation, but C, can help you in a way that create a income that is 100% tax exempt. That's what life insurance can do today, among many other things. Mm-hmm. But it's dollars for pennies.
I like to use the illustration of a house to kind of simplify things, right? So if we were going to purchase a home, we would purchase a home as an asset. Number one, we would want to live in that home to provide us shelter. We would also have to, you know, pay for that house, because that one day, you know, maybe in the future we own the house, and now that house has a certain value to it. You know, so maybe if we got into some financial trouble, maybe if we wanted to sell that house, we could do so, you know, because we own it, right? But the benefit, but also the liability with the house is the mortgage, meaning that you have to go in debt in order to buy that asset or even be able to leverage that in the future. Versus a life insurance contract, you get all the same benefits without going into debt. minus you can't really live in a life insurance policy. So, I mean, you do have that as well, which is why you should use them both together. Use your life insurance policy to pay for your mortgage. That's a different conversation for a completely different day. Because, yeah, that just is what it is.
Let me ask you this next part. This is always the follow-up question. When somebody is just starting to understand that there's a huge value and power to cash value life insurance, the questions go from two different places. The original question, when someone with no understanding of life insurance, they always ask, what's the least amount I can put in?
Mm-hmm.
If you understand life insurance and you're starting to get a grasp of how it works, how you can literally set up your own banking system with it, how you can control 100% of your budget and get leverage on every dollar, like truly give every dollar a job, then you would be asking, what's the most I could put in?
Exactly.
If you found out that there was a way to buy $1,000 bills, one $1,000 bill, here's $1 million bill, and you only had to spend $400 to get that $1 million bill, how many would you buy? Would you limit yourself? And it's really like
that's
that.
That's good. I like that. I'm making a video out of that one.
Yeah. I have a couple on my page. I'm the Prosperity Professor. This is all here. Don't wear a cape. You're listening to Money Talk on NSF, Father.
Yeah.
We have about 10 minutes left here, guys, tonight. If you have any questions, now's a great time. Feel free to call in as well. 516-418-5805. It's my absolute pleasure to help anybody get out of the financial matrix. And I know Brandon right here is probably one of the best agents when it comes to IUL design and structure. I don't see anybody out there.
Oh, man. Thank you.
I don't see anybody out there
that.
Doing what you're doing. And my job is to make sure that everything goes off smoothly and cleanly. And our clients are happy people. So it's my pleasure
Absolutely.
To be here. And anybody have any other questions in our last few minutes here? Budgeting and or cash value life insurance, or how do you use – didn't you use – Brandon, you just did a video about using your life insurance for expenses. How'd that go?
Yeah, I do, man. And that's really why I wanted to actually do it. So I did the video – to show people how I use life insurance as my own personal bank, right? And so what I do monthly is I put in a premium of about $6,000, maybe a little more, maybe a little bit less. Then I will basically take out money from the policy, and I'll do it through a loan feature. And then I'll take that money, and then I'll go pay my bills with the loan.
Can you get a statement back from the money that you spent last month? Are you able to see how much you earned on the money you spent? And I see you consulting with it. Because you pulled out $4,000 from the $6,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get let's ask Ameritas let's ask our for a it might come down in the annual report. We might have to backtrack at the end of the year.
Yeah, we would have to backtrack, and that's what I'm going to do because I want to show people like the proof of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they want to start invest, they want to see the short term immediate gratification, which is why stocks and things are so attractive.
Right, that right there.
Like, oh, I just looked at
30% of investors lose their money because they pull out too early. 30%.
Right.
Most investments do better when you stay long term. So. At the end of the year, you think we'll be able to see you actually made interest. You made an interest on the money that you spent on your holiday presents.
Well, we're gonna see, okay? We're gonna see how much I'm gonna make, because the way I design my policy is based on an annual point-to-point crediting strategy, right? So it takes a full crediting year in order to receive the interest credit, right? And so I can earn up to 12% in that month, but I'm also guaranteed a 0%. Right. So the loan costs me 3%.
Right.
Right. So if I pay 3% on the loan, I got to pay the 3% on the loan. But my money, the $6,000 that I put in there, is going to earn me from 0% up to 12%.
Exactly.
So if it makes 12% in that period, then I'm going to make a 9% return on that money that I spent.
Incredible.
So 9% of what? wait.
A 4,000.
9% of what? The 4,000, whatever that's. That's 30. That's $360
yeah.
that I made tax free. That's gonna compound back into my cash.
Does that sound like maybe the total of one of the gifts you got? Maybe you got one of the gifts for free or something. We could title that up.
Is that,
I want to go to that
exactly.
consulting because
so
we did. He asked one more question. And Brandon, you kind of already answered it. Consulting or anybody else who has a question about cash value life insurance, budgeting, getting a hold of your dollars, if you want to shoot us, either of us, a message, we'd be happy for free to just run through what you're working with and where you're trying to go. We truly, truly, truly want to be resources for you guys. But Hugh also asked the question, what's the difference between term and whole life? Term is just, like Brandon said earlier, it's like renting a house. You have no equity in a rental. And at any time, at the end of the rental, the landlord could kick you out. Term is just like that. So you have life.
And it could go up on your rent.
Your rent could increase. It, all the metaphors connect. Whole life
actually could it will increase over time.
Whole life is like a permanent life insurance policy that does build cash value. Whole life is one way that you can do the things that we're talking about. The other option would be an index universal life. If you want to chat, come hit us up. Consulting. It looks like you have a what's it called? Clubhouse audience. Let's do it, man. Will you message Brandon or I, and we'll definitely connect. Because
yes, we will.
Can help you out getting some control, and then also like our goal is to spread our message to everybody. I honestly believe that the financial matrix right now is like literally geared to have everybody fail, and it has everybody out there taking the blue pill, swallowing it by the gallon, thinking that they're winning, getting this great rate of return in the stock market. And yet, if that was actually true, why is it that 60% of baby boomers who use the same strategies can't independently retire?
I'll tell you why. Because it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much
you keep.
Can buy with the money that you make.
It's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you can use.
Yeah, how much money you can use, right? And so if the prices of everything is going up at the same rate as your money is going up, it don't necessarily mean you're any richer. You know what I'm saying? If a loaf of bread costs a dollar today, you know what I'm saying? And it costs $100 10 years from now, you know what I'm saying? And your income increased by 100%, you're not any richer.
So I know
because you can still only buy that same loaf of bread.
I know for a fact. So the S&P 500 is looking that it averaged around 6% last year. And that was with an up and a 30% drop and then a back up. And then $6 trillion pumping from the Federal Reserve, 6% average. Okay. We have indexes reports coming back in the 7s, 8s, and 9s for 2020. We have companies that did not even lower their dividend rate, which means that their investment portfolio held over through everything. And why is that? Because the investment companies are much, much bigger than even the stock market in some regards, because their money's not all there. The investment insurance companies have more money that they can invest in things that are far bigger than stock equities. And that's partially why their investments are so strong and depended on by the same banking institutions that we willfully throw every single penny in every single month.
Yeah. And for more on that, I can't wait till we get this webinar up.
We're going, bro. We're going. We got it coming.
Yeah, it's coming, man. It's coming, man. Any other questions, man? Any other questions before
that was terminal.
Before we run out of time?
Terminal whole life.
Really great question. DNL did it consultant. I like that name. DNL did it. I like that.
Daniel did it. Like it.
Got it.
That's why I thought it was Dr. Ndidi. You can see the resemblance. A Dr. Ndidi.
Oh, I see.
Dr. Ndidi's from Nigeria, too. Dude, Nigerians are serious about their money. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Absolutely, man.
Well, if that's it for everybody, I don't want to hush out any questions, but it's been my pleasure, and I'm the Prosperity Professor. This is Brandon Anthony Clark. You can reach him at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. Thanks for listening to Money Talk.
Money Talk Live. Okay, we're going to see you again next Tuesday, the same time, and hopefully we see you again before then, because like I said, we are working on something special. Hold on, we got one last question. So use your paycheck to get life insurance. I'm not 100% sure I understand that question.
It comes from your net paychecks. It comes from net or your actual income, any of your incomes. But I like to create assets that pay for my life insurance. But that's a whole nother thing.
Whole nother thing, man. All right, well, thank you all for catching us.
Consulting, shoot us a message.
Awesome. Absolutely, man. Y'all take care. Be smooth.